Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, how to demonstrate your experience on your resume.
The questions that this cast answers are, why don't I get interviews? Why doesn't my resume show my experience? And what is the difference between responsibilities and accomplishments?
And if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We're excited to announce that the Manager Tools license is evolving to offer pathways to professional excellence. Soon, you'll be able to choose between three distinct licenses: the Career Tools license, the Manager Tools license, and the Executive Tools license. Each of these licenses is specifically designed to provide you resources and benefits tailored to your current career stage. Whether you're just starting out, managing teams, or leading at the executive level, we'll have a license that matches your specific needs and future aspirations. Each license will offer benefits customized to help you excel in your current role and prepare you for your next career move. For existing licensees, keep an eye on your inbox for emails detailing what's happening, how you'll benefit, and special opportunities to gain even more by renewing your license early. And for those of you who aren't licensees, don't miss out on this chance to supercharge your pathway to professional excellence. Join us as a licensee now to take your professional development to new heights with a license perfectly suited to your career stage. If you join before the transition, you will reap extra benefits.
I'm not sure if this is a revelation to anybody or not, or if this is going to be completely confusing, but your job history is not your work experience. So the list of jobs that you've held and the companies you've worked for is not evidence of the jobs you can carry out and how well you did them. So if you had a list of all of the companies you'd worked for and the job titles, that doesn't tell anybody what work you've done. So the bulleted list that reflects your previous job descriptions is not evidence of what you're going to bring to the table, as they say, in a new role. And that's the reason, in the top three reasons of why we see resumes that don't get interviews. There's no evidence of any experience on the resume. All there is a list of what jobs people did, not what experience there is. And if you want to stand out in this sea of useless resumes, which is what we usually get, you need to showcase your real experience, which is your achievements and how you accomplished them, which is what we're going to talk about today.
So we're going to cover, first, don't use bullets for responsibilities on your resume. Then demonstrate your experience with accomplishment bullets. And lastly, managers, claim your team's accomplishments.
So don't use bullets for responsibilities on your resume. So the bullets on your resume, the bullet points, is for accomplishments. And so many of the resumes we see fundamentally misunderstand the accepted format of resumes, which is that bullets are for accomplishments. And that means that they're completely ineffective because they've used the bullets up for the job title, the job description, and then they've got nowhere to put the accomplishments. So they don't put the accomplishments on the resume, and then there's no work experience on the resume, and it's completely useless. It's really hard. Like, we just went through a recruiting round, and Alex kept saying to me, "Wendy, I don't understand it. We've got like 400 resumes, and like there's like two I want to interview. Is it always like this?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he says, "But people complain that they send hundreds of resumes and nobody ever like gets back to them, and they don't get interviews." And I'm like, "Yes, that's like there's a complete mismatch between the understanding between hiring managers and candidates about what the other wants." And the people that are sending resumes really believe that they are sending what the hiring manager wants. And the hiring managers are looking at the resumes and going, "This doesn't help me whatsoever. Like, it tells me nothing." And it's really sad. It's like those people could be perfect in the roles that the hiring manager has. And the hiring manager could be really happy with the people that are applying, but they don't know because the right information isn't on the paper.
Yeah. And I would say oftentimes when folks write their responsibilities, they're writing them because they in fact accomplished them, but that doesn't translate that they actually did the things that they mentioned
right.
in their responsibilities.
Yes. It's not that they don't have any work experience. It's that it's not there on the paper to be seen.
Yeah. They make the assumption, but the other side won't make that assumption for you.
Can't.
And yeah, so for each job, there should be some admin information, the responsibilities. This includes the dates that the job was held, also including months. So months and years for dates. The job title itself and the company. Then there should be a prose or structured paragraph of all the responsibilities. Finally, a bulleted list of your accomplishments. So first a paragraph, your responsibilities, and then the bulleted accomplishments.
So let's talk about how responsibilities and accomplishments are different. You can think about responsibilities as the generic job description for the role that you were in. It describes what you were supposed to do or expected to do. So if there's like 15 sales reps, they would all have the same responsibilities paragraph, except maybe they would have different sales territories that they were responsible for. But essentially, they would all have the same responsibilities paragraph because they're all doing essentially the same job. In fact, they're so generic, the job descriptions, you can write them without even thinking about it, without knowing what the job is.
Yeah, and we'll give you some examples here. A chef. A chef is responsible for managing a kitchen with 3 sous chefs and 8 other staff. They prepared gourmet meals for 300 people per night and responsible for ordering efficient use of stock. They also developed chef's special 3 times per week. It's pretty generic of job description of what chefs do and their responsibilities. Another example would be a project manager. They're responsible for the on-time, in-scope, in-budget delivery of said projects, managed this many number of staff, and how many number of contractors, managed a $1 million budget, and responsible for monthly reporting to the steering committee.
Yeah. You literally can write it without even thinking about it, without knowing what the job is. If we said doctor, you could say what a doctor did without, you know, a general practitioner is responsible for seeing the patients, diagnosing them, referring them to specialists.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it without even knowing because they're that generic. Clearly they're not. By the time they get to your resume, they're somewhat specialized, they're somewhat tailored to what you were doing.
And dependent on your organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your type of restaurant, if we're talking about chefs.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's the expectation of your role, not actually what you accomplished, because you demonstrate what you achieved with the accomplishment bullets so that they show the results of what you did. And necessarily, this is different from other people in the role. So if we go back to the sales reps, you can have 15 sales reps, but only one of them made the $1 million sale to that hospital in that time period at that time. To that person, because only one person can make a sale, that sale, right? It can only be one salesperson who signs at the bottom of the contract. And so only one person can claim that accomplishment. And that's the accomplishment, that single thing. That's what makes that person stand out. And that's the accomplishment. That's the work experience that's different. And that's what goes in the bullet.
Yeah. And considering the chef's accomplishments could include increased revenue by $5,000 a month by developing low-cost, high-impact chef specials. So not only did they create the specials, but how did they accomplish that and what did they do for their restaurant? That experience is unique to his time in that specific role. Every project manager is expected to deliver their project on time, on budget, and in scope. However, few do that, right? So every project manager needs to include in their accomplishments what they did. And if they did it.
Yes.
What? And if they actually did the thing that they were responsible for.
The secret for project managers is if you don't write, I delivered X project on time, on budget, and in scope, we assume that you didn't. Because if you did, you would write it on there. And then project managers don't write anything on there and we just assume that you didn't. So the accomplishment bullets are what you did that was different to everybody else. And that is necessarily a function of your skills, your experience, the economic conditions, what the team was doing at the time, what the company was doing at the time, what the customers, you know, it's just, it can only be in that little microcosm of time while you were in the job. And somebody else in that job would have achieved more or less. But what you're saying to the hiring manager is, this is what I achieved with what I was given. And then it's up to the hiring manager to decide whether or not they think that what you achieved with what you were given was enough for them to want to interview you, whether it's enough for what they want, what they're looking for in the job that they're looking for to fill.
Yeah. And just to kind of dig into this more, even a project manager could have, let's consider this, delivered 10 one-year projects, each the same size, the same blueprint, and the same team size. Without accomplishments, that person's resume looks exactly the same as the person who delivered a one-year project in year one and a three-year project, five times the size of the project at the end of their tenure. Both very different accomplishments, but depending on how you write it, it could look exactly the same. Therefore, you're not standing out in any resume review.
And if you go back to the sales example, if you have 15 salespeople and they only put their responsibilities on the resume, you cannot tell them apart. And the person who delivered $1 million sale and the person who delivered zero sales, their resumes look exactly the same. And if you're the person who delivered $1 million in sales, you don't want your resume to look the same as the person who's delivered zero. Right? You've got that experience. You've got that accomplishment. You want it to be on your resume in a format that the hiring manager can see and use as a reason for bringing you in for an interview.
Yeah. And it's very easy to write your accomplishments because you're going to write them the same way each time. They consist of a verb, the measure, and the method. So an example of how to write it would be achieved 1 million increase in revenue by selling nachos in the HEB grocery stores. Another example is delivered Windows 11 upgrade project on time utilizing group policy object process. And a third example is achieved 20% increase in engagement on social media using ChatGPT driven strategy. So the verb, the measure, and the method.
And the first part, that verb and the measure, is what you achieved. And the measure is really important because without it, cynical recruiters will read the accomplishment with the least favorable reflection on the resume writer. So, for instance, if it just says achieved increase in revenue by selling nachos into HEB stores, and there's no amount for that revenue increase, we'll just assume it's like a dollar. Because if you were proud of that number or it was a good number, you'd have written the number on the resume. So it must be a bad number, otherwise it would be there. So you have to write the number on there because otherwise we just assume the worst because we can't do otherwise.
Yeah, and especially because one of the first hiring principles is find reasons to say no.
Right.
If you have 400 resumes that you have to go through, you are looking for reasons to say no. So you don't have to interview 400 people. So look for reasons to say no. That's what they're going to do. If it's vague, you go into the no pile. The second part of the accomplishment, the means, is equally as important. It tells the hiring manager how you did something, and this puts the accomplishment into context. For example, there's a difference between achieving an IT rollout within an in-house team and one made up of in-house and contract staff, even if the team sizes are the same overall. So that accomplishment can look very different when you're working with just folks within your organization and having to herd not only within your organization, but all your contractors outside. That is two very different skill sets and can make a big difference when someone's looking at your resume.
It's like the difference between working with an all US team or delivering all in the US and delivering globally or working with a global team. Those two things multiply the complexity of the project by what feels like a millionfold. And so you want to include that in the accomplishment because it shows that you are capable, that you have the experience of something so much more. And there's not a trick, that's not fair. There's something to, if you include the means, hiring managers are, one, often looking for someone who can not only accomplish a task, but accomplish it in a certain way. So they're looking for someone who can use a certain software or a certain method of doing something. So they have this job, they are using a certain principle or a certain method or a certain software to achieve whatever it is that they're achieving. So they're looking for people who can use that method. And this is where you put it. You don't put it in a paragraph at the bottom of the resume that says, I can use all of these pieces of software and we have no idea of how you've used them in the past. It's much better to put it at the top in an accomplishment that says, I achieved X. There's no eyes on resumes, achieved or delivered installation of X software on time, on budget, on scope, like as a project. And then that way you get the thing of like saying, I used this piece of software, and you get the achievement. So you're describing how you used it. So you're saying it as a work achievement, as work experience, and not just, I can use this software, which again is not useful because the hiring manager doesn't know how you used it and how well you used it or how much experience you have with it. And the other thing is, if they don't have a method in mind of how they want something accomplished, they may see something in the method that you use and think, well, that's interesting. I want to find out more about that, you know, especially if you did something in a very novel way. If you've used AI as the hot thing right now, you know, if you've done something and you used AI, then they're going to want to talk to you because they're going to want to know how you did that. But it can be simple things. You know, sometimes if you're looking at clerical jobs and somebody has automated something on Excel using macros and Power Automate, I mean, that's Power Automate's now got AI in it, but until a year ago, it didn't have. And if you've managed to automate those kind of jobs, a hiring manager is going to be interested in that because those jobs that are a lot of data entry can have a lot of error. And so even if you're only automating Excel, that can be a really good thing for a hiring manager. And they can be really interested in, like, how did you do that? I want more of that. So it doesn't need to be something really highfalutin. That's what I'm trying to say. It can be something really simple, or what you think as simple, and it can still be really interesting to a hiring manager.
Yeah. Effective and efficient.
We are often asked if our effective communicator training is just for managers. And the short answer is no. While it's great for managers, the intended audience is anyone in the workplace or professional environment who wants to have more positive outcomes through a myriad of exchanges. This could be one-on-one conversation, over the phone or Zoom, email, in large group settings. It really doesn't matter. The specific training teaches you the behaviors of observation and analysis so you can have a good sense of the other person's communication style. And then we teach you through practice how to tailor your natural delivery for the most productive and positive outcome. Who wouldn't want those skills? Great for customer-facing individual contributors and all professional workplace disciplines. Contact Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn how you can bring us into your organization with a cost-effective way of getting 30 people on your team trained.
All right, let's talk about managers and how you need to claim your team's achievements. Managers do not have to restrict themselves to being responsible for leading their teams. Let's think about this logically. First, managers must be necessary, otherwise companies wouldn't pay for them. So why does a team have a manager? In order for the team to achieve X, Y, and Z. Therefore, the team achieving said X, Y, and Z is your accomplishment as the manager. So if they need you to achieve these things, you get to also claim that accomplishment. So it should go on your resume.
Exactly. You can just imagine like your team running around as little minions, I guess, right? Without any direction, just doing work, but nothing's happening because you're not there to direct them and corral them and focus them on whatever it is you're trying to achieve. And the fact that they achieve the project, the direction, the whatever it is that your team achieves, that only happens because of you, and therefore you get to achieve, you get to claim that achievement as your own. You know, a site foreman doesn't actually put up the studs, lay the bricks, put down the floor, put on the roof. But do you have any doubt that a foreman is required to put up a house? Do you have any doubt that when the foreman is not there, your house is not being put up, or is not being put up as well? Like, the quality goes down when the foreman's not there? Like, nobody has any doubt that that happens. That's why foremen exist. And not only are they there to oversee the work and make sure that it's happening, they're also there because they have more experience and they can check the quality of the work, right? So that's why managers exist, because they can direct the work, but they also can check the quality of the work. They can solve the problems for the work. All of that is your contribution to the achievement of the team, and therefore you get to claim that achievement. And managers often say, can I say that because I didn't do any of it? Yes, you can still say it because you contributed. You were there. Without you, it would not have got done. And so, therefore, it's yours.
You made sure it got done.
Mm-hmm.
All of your examples, just in my mind, I kept thinking of like a ringleader of a circus.
Yes. Right?
You need it. They know all the things going on.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're just looking for the show, but they know all the acts. They know how to communicate in between them and make sure things run on time. So, I was just thinking of a circus when you were chatting.
So you can use by leading the team as a method for the accomplishment. So you can do achieved the delivery of X project on time, on budget, on scope by leading the team. But you can also use a method like Scrum or Agile. You can use in by developing an initiative. You can use coaching. All of those work. One question, if you're finding it difficult to find the method, is to ask, what did I do differently to make this achievement happen? So if you think of like a generic manager, what was it that I did that was different that made this achievement happen? If you think of it that way, the other way I often use to find out what people did is I say, what would you have not done to get fired? So if you had not, what was it that you were doing that if you did not do it, you would have got fired? That often tells you what you were doing that was the thing that was important. So if you look at it backwards, sometimes that works.
So if the only thing you change about your resume is putting responsibilities where they belong and adding accomplishment bullets, your success rate in obtaining interviews will increase. A resume with only responsibilities doesn't demonstrate any experience at all. It can only improve from there.
It's short. Because there isn't much to say. All you need to do is move the responsibilities into a paragraph and start writing accomplishments, and automatically your resume gets better. Easy.
Yeah. You become different from the other 400 on Indeed.
Yeah. Thanks, Amanda.
All right. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.